What? Let's just spend the next hour talking about how sexy we are.
Yeah.
Quiet on the set. Can we please have quiet on the set?
Awesome!
I came to play. There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees.
Welcome to the Brian Noonan Show podcast. I am Cody Goff, and I'm here with Brian Noonan, who has given me a weird look because...
It's too high energy for the intro. I thought podcasting was low energy.
No, you know what? I decided since management apparently now is considering me for an air shift that I thought I'd open it.
Oh, is that right? Like, they're apparently considering you for an air shift?
They're apparently considering the possibility of somewhere down the line, if they're desperate enough, pairing me with an existing host who might be willing to have me on doing an air shift buried in the middle of the night on a weekend. That's the full context.
Well, you could not wait to get that out there, did you? So people would start clearing. When is Cody going to get his own show?
No, I was just, I thought I would sound like a professional for once, since we don't do that on the podcast.
Yeah, now we got, look who's here.
We got professionalism.
What a shock. What a shock.
I'd like to welcome.
See, this is what happened. We opened the floodgates last week, and now
I sounded so professional, Roger sensed it and came down here.
That's I don't know what that means, sound professional.
It means
what does
that I,
mean?
Well, it's something that I think you do sometimes. Did you turn your mic on, Roger? Because I do not know how to. Oh, yeah, I do.
He's
just kidding.
One of the guys.
You're all, I got him. Yeah. Hey, listen, I'm a professional.
Are you a professional?
Here. Roger,
really?
We're just talking about how professional I am.
I agree. 100%.
Thank you. See, he's been working with me for just almost as long as
you. Yeah, but you didn't know professional what? That was not.
Well,
so you agreed to
he's
whatever.
Professional.
You, at what?
Well, it doesn't matter.
Well, it surely does.
Some things that he can try and may be inadequate, but he tries it in a professional manner.
See, and I don't even know what he just said, but I...
he said you're inadequate.
It sounded vaguely...
He said you're inadequate, that you are not professional, that you are inadequate, that you try and you fail, and it's horrible.
I'm inadequate, like
you're
as
inadequate.
In a singular...
inadequate.
I think I choose to hear it as inadequate. I am inadequate.
All right, if that's what you choose.
Like I am a human.
Really?
As the Ferengi would say. Hey, speaking of Ferengi.
How about a d'orc?
No. Oh, no. Now I wish they would have showed a trailer for the Warcraft movie before Captain America.
I got to ask you this. This is what we're starting with. And, Roger, since you're a comic book guy, I'm glad you're down here. Because I haven't seen it. Now, this podcast is being recorded the opening weekend of Captain America Civil War.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're dating ourselves. That's okay. Keep up with the timeline. If not, you'll listen to whatever you listen to.
At least somebody will date us. Am I right? Am I right? You know? No?
No. Wow. Okay. You are really trying hard. You are trying. It's so.
I may have to reevaluate.
Yeah. It's painful to watch you try so hard. It really.
The thing is, it hurts me.
I don't try.
You have not seen me try. In 8 years working with me, you never once have seen me try.
That I'll admit. I rarely see you try. But you saw Captain America.
I did. Did you, Roger?
Not yet.
Nor have I.
Over $180 million opening weekend.
That was it?
Here in the United States.
I mean, it's
already opened huge in China.
Huge
in Europe.
If I was president, I would not let Captain America be shown in China.
Yes,
it's a little late now.
I would build a cinematic wall. It would keep all the Chinese from eyeing my movies.
What does that look like?
A Chinese cinematic wall.
Is that where you project the movie onto the Great Wall of China?
No.
No.
It's where you project.
Then they would see it.
You project darkness onto the Great Wall of China.
Well, no, we just project it on the other side of the wall.
Okay. So they could hear it and couldn't see it?
Yeah.
Is that more torture than not being able to view it at all?
Like Lollapalooza. Well, I guess that's different.
Well, does it rain a lot in China?
No, because sometimes people will go down to the park and just stand outside to
listen,
hear the music.
Yeah, right.
Instead of getting a CD or an iTunes.
Well, they do that a lot at Wrigley Field when they bring the bands come in to play at Wrigley Field.
I'm going to Wrigley Field for another concert in June.
Which one?
James Taylor. Yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing James Taylor and Jackson Browne. I am not looking forward to going to Wrigley Field. Now, maybe it's been, don't give me that look.
Well, I don't know, because
you know
I've never been there for a concert.
You're my
expert now.
I've been there for
games,
a couple of concerts.
Yeah, but
the bathrooms
concerts.
Are the same for both.
Ugh.
It's horrific. Yeah. And now, I haven't been there since they remodeled. We'll wait and see if it's been rejuvenated, but I don't know. But I want to see. If I'm going to a concert, I want to see. But back to Captain America.
Well,
yes. Before we go too far down the rabbit hole. So give us your quick review, your thumbnail sketch.
It was awesome.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Best. Now, I'm reading some critics saying it's the best superhero movie ever. Could that be the fact?
You know, I read a couple of reviews that didn't like the first half of it. thought it kind of slow to start. I mean, the climactic action scene, which you see teased in the trailers.
Right, the Civil War.
That is the best action scene I have ever seen.
Really?
Ever. The dialogue is snappy. It's perfect.
How did they go about introducing the characters that we may have not seen in other Marvel movies to this point, i.e. Black Panther?
The only one they introduce
Don't tell me exactly how, but how do
Okay,
they,
the only one they introduce is Black Panther. I think they do his origin perfectly. They do it in basically a scene.
Oh, wow.
And it's pretty much a one-liner. It's basically, you did this, I'm this guy because it's been in my tribe for years, or whatever it is. I'm trying to be vague and not spoil anything.
But
essentially,
alerts.
Effectively, that's it. He says, something happened, now I'm this guy. Oh, it's been happening in, like, this costume's been passed down in the generations, and now I'm it.
Okay.
And that's it. And that's all you need. And I like that. I like that they focus more on some of the other characters than they do him, but you get where he's coming from.
And he's still got an origin movie coming out.
Oh, sure,
at some point.
I know. That's why they're introducing him here.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know
Wasn't he the first black superhero?
Yep.
Black
in
Panther.
Comics. Yeah, in comics. Him and then not Nightwing.
Luke Cage?
Batman.
Lucas Cage was a good one.
Yeah.
I used to like
Lucas Cage. Lucas Cage came after, but Captain America is...
Falcon.
Falcon, thank you.
Yeah.
I was getting my genres mixed up.
Yeah.
And I will say, for any listeners that haven't seen it, watch Captain America Winter Soldier first.
Okay.
Because it's almost a direct sequel, and Winter Soldier is extremely important to this plot.
Okay.
And, I mean, essential. So it was funny because...
Wait a minute.
I'd seen all the Marvel, all the Iron Man's, Ant-Man, all of them, leading up to this, except Winter Soldier.
Oh.
And the morning of Civil War, we had 11:30 tickets. I had found a way to stream it legally, and
well, it's on every.
Wait a minute, that sounds
now it's
like
on every
dicey.
Cable channel. It's out. Winter Soldier's been out
legally.
For a long time.
So Winter Soldier, and my girlfriend had to get up early for a dentist appointment, and I woke up too. So I figured, all right, well, I'll watch it. And I watched almost all of it. I had to skip about 5 minutes of an action scene and got right past the climax, and then had to go.
Uh oh.
And I get to the movie, and I'm like, thank God I did that, or I would have no idea what's going on.
Yeah, it's strange. Even if you're a fan of the Marvel Universe, which I am, you still have to know what's going on in the movies and kind of keep it up. So it's worth seeing. I'm going to see it this week. I told my wife, who wants to see it, and originally the original plan was to go for her Mother's Day in the morning, because we did that for the very first Iron Man. She was like, yeah, I want to go see it, so we went on Mother's Day, but with her broken foot and just getting back in town, we didn't go. But I said, I have to go see it before I leave for L.A. on Sunday, next Sunday, so this week we're going to see it at some point.
Cool.
I cannot
I'm not wait. Sure when, because as you know, I'm busier now in retirement than I was when I was working.
I did not know that, but please elaborate, because I know that's why you're here.
Well,
to tell us how busy you are.
Bridget's schedule is kind of different than mine. She doesn't get up until later
because
of her issues.
Right.
And then once she wakes up, now I'm out doing stuff. So we sometimes have nights that we can go out and do stuff if either of us has the energy.
Right.
Bowling's over now, so now I got Thursday nights are open.
I think he's trying to hook us up with something. Fellas, I'm free on Thursday nights. What do you?
Nobody ever calls.
Thursday's always I'm busy.
Yeah. Okay.
Every day. No, here's why I'm busy. Because by the time night comes, I'm asleep. Because I'm up at 4:30. So by the time it's nighttime after dinner, I'm lucky. Yeah. I'm lucky I make it through 1 hour of TV.
Wow.
So I'm hoping. I figure I'll stay away. If I'm going to see a movie like Civil War, I'll get jacked up.
Just stay awake through the first half. The second half, you can coast, but the first half, again, it's slower.
Yeah, well, that's all right. Doesn't everything...
I'm fine with it.
That's what I don't like about the culture today. Everything has to be bang, 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 bang. Take some time to unwrap. I remember going to see... I'm going to forget the name of it, but it doesn't matter. It was Alec Baldwin and... It was The Cooler. Great movie. He's a casino owner, and William H. Macy is this guy who supposedly is bad luck incarnate, and if he sits next to you at the table, you're going to lose, and so that's how the casino, old school casino guys would have these coolers that would come around and, you know, win them back their money. Fantastic movie. Great performances by everybody. Maria Bello was in it. She is unbelievably hot and naked in a lot of it, which was great. Baldwin was phenomenal. And But it's a drama. It's not an action movie. It's a story that you have to kind of give yourself over to. So I'm sitting in a theater in suburban Detroit watching this movie. And about 10 minutes into it, these people in front of me, two women and a man, were like, "Oh, what's going on with this movie?"
Oh, no.
And then they got up and walked out. They're like, "It is so slow." And I'm like, "Yeah, it's a story." And they got up and left because they couldn't. They needed a barrage of action and screaming and all sorts of things, and they weren't getting it. They were actually having to pay attention to character development and plot, and they had had enough.
Now, I'll be interested to hear your Civil War review because you also saw Batman versus Superman, which I did not.
I did. I see them all.
You're the only one that'll be able to give me that.
I haven't seen it either.
Yeah, I haven't seen that or Man of Steel.
Oh, Man of Steel, I like.
I saw Man of Steel. Didn't care for it.
Wow, all right.
Really?
Didn't care for it. Didn't care for it.
Couldn't have been worse than Superman Returns, at least.
All of the DC movies have been huge disappointments, especially compared to Marvel.
Even the Dark Knight trilogy?
See,
do not count that as a DC comic.
And I'll tell you why. I'll use a caveat on that.
Uh-oh.
The Dark Knight comic series was past the time when I was really into comics.
Okay.
So I missed that series and didn't have anything to compare it to.
Yeah.
It was good.
Right.
The Marvel, though, is by far and away is the way to make superhero movies.
Oh, yeah. They've got it down.
Yeah.
They're doing a great... Ant-Man was fun. They're all good. So that's it. All right. So we have an advanced review from Cody saying it is definitely worth seeing. It is... You will not go out on the limb to say that it is the best superhero movie ever made. As I've heard some reviewers say.
You know, for the longest...
Because The Avengers is going to be pretty tough to beat.
The Avengers
Age
was...
Age of Ultron? Okay.
Age of Ultron? Yeah. No, the original Avengers.
The original one, right. The
original Avengers. Age of Ultron was good.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I'm not going to say the best ever. I mean, honestly, Deadpool is going to be close to the top.
Deadpool was phenomenal.
Deadpool was unbelievably
good. Out on
good.
Blu-ray and DVD this weekend.
Yeah, I've got to watch it again.
Oh, okay. And Ant-Man, I actually also thought was really... Yeah. I mean, I watched it with my
Ant-Man
girlfriend and she enjoyed it.
Yeah.
That is a challenge. She hates superheroes. She hates superhero movies. She thinks they're too violent.
Is she a communist?
Maybe. I think she's possibly a communist. I'm not sure.
Could she be working for...
Putin?
Putin or... or Hydra?
Hydra.
Oh,
yeah.
She could be a Hydra agent.
She a sleeper? So. She a Hydra sleeper?
Yeah.
Just go ahead and say Hail Hydra and see what she does.
All right.
She could be part of the Hyde.
I don't know what she is. She could be something.
Now, have you heard that in the
about
Infinity
the Lonesome
Stones?
Loser?
Have you... the Infinity Stone, word is that they may be changing the titles of each movie, that it will not be part one and part two, that they're kind of going at it in a different way now, because as they start seeing the audience reaction to the latest movies, they're starting to kind of change phase three of the Marvel Comics movie universe and kind of slightly adjusting the direction they're going and who's going to get their own film and who's not going to get their own film. That's the latest that I've been reading now.
Wow.
So that's something to look forward to.
I haven't been paying... I just pay attention to the ones that are coming out, you know, and see what's happening and getting all jazzed up for this. And now X-Men Apocalypse is coming. That'll be good. Olivia Munn in that one.
See, and similarly, the only X-Men film I haven't seen is Days of Futures Past, which is the one that immediately precedes this one, so now I have to
have
see
to
this
see
one.
And I have to watch Days of Future Past again because I was in
there's
and out.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah, there's a lot. Here's the thing for me, and I know I've talked about this. I hate time travel. I hate time travel movies. I can't keep up. I'm an idiot, and I'm flummoxed every time there's a time travel movie. Michael J. Fox to Wolverine, across the board, no time travel movies for me.
Yeah.
I watch them. I don't get them.
I got that one except for the beginning part where they're coming in to attack the X-Men.
Well, he hasn't seen
And they keep jumping, and I can't – the scenes go so fast,
right.
I can't see who is who, which X-Men is which X-Men. And then they, like, zoom past a bulletin board where there are pictures – of X-Men. I'm going, oh, wait a minute, a lot stop. Of X-Men. Who is who?
And I never read the X-Men comics.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Right. So, I mean, I loved all the movies. Mm-hmm. I didn't see Wolverine, though.
I didn't X-Men see Origins. Any of the Wolverine spinoffs.
No, I didn't see those. Were there more than one? Was there more than one?
Yeah,
there were two.
Were there really?
Yeah. And they were both. They were. The first one was pretty widely panned. The second one, I guess, got mixed reviews. Yeah. But they were not must see movies.
Yeah, it's nothing's must see.
I got to run. Do the news.
Yeah, see ya. Always
Thanks,
a
Roger.
Pleasure, Roger.
I love it. Thank
you. There
guys.
You go, Roger, dropping by as he does occasionally on the podcast, web exclusive podcast. We like to call it. I don't know why we like to call it that. Well, thank you for the review, because I'm eagerly anticipating going to see it.
I got my
nerd on.
And you can probably hear Craig Collins' thoughts on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, because I saw it with him.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Look at you two hobnobbing.
We hobnobbing.
Producers out together plotting the overthrow of their hosts.
You know,
I know how that goes.
I feel like one of the least connected producers, because do you know that a couple of the producers live together now? I don't remember which
really?
Ones. Yeah, and I
like in a hostel?
In a house.
Really?
A couple of our producers are roommates, which I didn't know, and I wouldn't
wow.
even say if I could remember which ones.
Right.
And I guess
is
one of the producers is like John Williams' son is a producer here, I think.
Yeah.
And he went to high school with another producer here who went to high school with another producer.
Like it. It's too incestuous.
And I don't think that any of these people are getting the jobs because of connections. I think it's just weird coincidences.
Mm.
Like, oh, you happen to work here. Oh, and I live with you. Weird. It's and I'm like, I'm the old guard, right?
Oh, you happen. Yeah, the old guard is not well respected.
I've been here 8 years. I guess Craig started two internships after me, morning show.
Okay.
Because I was Spike's last intern, and he was John Williams' second intern.
Okay.
So we have 1 degree of morning show separation, but that's the closest I come to anybody. Everybody else is like, oh, hi, I'm Cody. Nice to meet you for the first time ever. We have nothing in common.
Well, that's because we're never here. We're here when nobody else is here.
Oh, I don't care.
Seem a little put out by it.
I don't get put out by things.
All right. Is that right?
I mean,
no, it's just, I come in, there's a whole gaggle of producers I don't know. I taped a thing for Dave Plyer the other day and spoke with his producer. Seemed like a very nice gentleman. I think I may have met him once or twice.
Mm.
Yeah, I see people come through. I didn't realize, I know John Williams' son now who it is, but I didn't know it was his son at first. Yeah. Because his last name isn't Williams.
How does that happen?
Did I just let the cat out of the bag?
Strange. I don't know.
Maybe John's not using his real name.
Again, I don't even know,
who knows?
Any of that. But anyway.
Hey, so they're living together in sin? Or is it just a roommate situation?
There's no inter-producer. No inter-producer dating is
Are you
happening.
Sure? There's no mingling? There's no
not that I'm aware
escapades?
Of. None of that since.
Is there any canoodling going on? Is there anybody knocking boots? Rubbing uglies? Making the monster with two backs?
Oh, gosh.
Is there any of that happening?
That is.
Here in the producer pool?
Very visual.
It is. I try to. Well, that's the radio. You have to paint a picture, verbal picture.
There's only like two female producers here, aren't there?
Well, Steve Cochran's producer, Mary, is a lovely woman.
Okay.
Elif.
And of course, Elif. The Lindsay for. Lou Manfredini, so
right.
There's like three or four.
Kristen Decker produces a lot of the podcast stuff, and she produces for Kathy and Judy.
Oh,
on
right.
The weekend.
I consider her like a higher tier since she also does
management.
So much video. Yeah, she's. I mean,
management.
She's very good at everything.
I think Amy Guth has a female producer.
Oh, okay. So there's a handful.
So. There's a handful.
Okay.
Sure, there's
All
enough.
Right.
Let's not start in some inequality thing.
Not what I was trying
I
to
like,
do.
And actually, some of our management were former producers, the female management.
Yes, Stephanie was a producer when I was a producer.
Yeah. So let's listen. I like it. Speaking of inappropriate.
Yes, I was
so,
the main
a lot of
topic of the podcast.
No, there's a lot of things to get to.
Well, I figured you would tell your story, and then I would tell a quick follow-up story to something
from a
couple weeks ago. I thought you'd talk about
the
crocodile
stories.
Action.
I
got
to talk about some gator action.
Thought you'd
I got to tell this
action?
Since we were talking about you said something was inappropriate. So we're at the hotel the other day in New Orleans. We were in New Orleans for a week, almost a week. 5 days, whatever. It was fun. It was great. So we're at this hotel, and we stayed at a new hotel this time because budgetary constraints. So we stayed at a hotel that was about half the price of our normal hotel.
Wow.
It was a little further away because for some reason this weekend everything was jacked up in New Orleans. All the prices were insane. A hotel that we usually pay about anywhere from 100 to like 160 bucks a night for was at 230. And we ended up going across the river through hotels.com and got a beautiful Best Western Plus for $104 a night.
Nice.
It was nice. Because it had everything. Big, beautiful, big breakfast every morning. It had a pool. It had a bar. It had a jacuzzi. Clean, big, clean, spacious rooms. Not too far away. Anyway, so the Wednesday morning, Thursday morning, Friday morning, or Wednesday and Thursday, not too much action at the hotel breakfast. Well, people start coming in on Friday. So Friday morning, I don't want to be indelicate. There were some very large people.
Mm.
Like my old large size, like big, even bigger than I used to be.
Old Brian,
like,
big?
It was old Brian big and bigger.
Wow.
Both male and female. There was a lot, which I don't know if this is why, but the first two mornings that we went and had breakfast, it was serve yourself. You walked, they had one room, they had a hot buffet with bacon, sausage, eggs, potatoes, gravy, biscuits, grits. They had a crazy, like, 3D printer pancake machine.
What?
There was a machine. You took a plate and you put it on the end. And then you pressed a button. And in about a minute, two fresh hot pancakes came rolling out. I don't know. It looked like it was about the size of a printer. And I guess when you push the OK button, it squirted out little blobs of batter. Because you could see a dotted line as it started and as it ended. And it came up this conveyor belt. Bloop, and out came your pancakes.
Wow.
Two pancakes per order. So they had that. They had coffee. They had everything. Very nice. Well, the first 2 days, you went in to the hot buffet side and you just grabbed a plate and you served yourself whatever you wanted. Plunk, plunk, plunk. As the crowds got bigger, they roped off the serving area and they had a woman back there who would actually serve you. And it was, you know, here's a couple pieces of bacon. Because there were people, the first couple of mornings, there were people leaving with an entire plate of bacon.
Ugh.
Just piled high. Buffet pigs.
Yeah.
It's like, come on. You're at a, really? I know it's included in the price of your room, but that doesn't mean you have to empty the chafing dish when you see there's other people around. So as the big people came in and checked into the hotel, maybe they started policing because then they were dishing out the food, which was fine. But there's people, when you get to a certain size, maybe you don't wear certain clothes.
This again.
I know, but this one is because this woman had on this tank top, and she was huge. She had this tank top on that said, "I work out so I look good naked."
Are you serious?
Honest to God. And I'm trying to eat, and I'm thinking, I don't think either parts of that sentence are true.
Wow.
I can't imagine. I'm sure somebody finds her attractive, naked or clothed, but I don't think she works out, and I'm guessing she doesn't look good naked, and now you're putting me off my eggs.
Does lifting a quarter-pound hamburger up to your mouth and back count as
a double quarter-pounder? You get some burn in the biceps to get the guns worked?
Sure.
I don't know, but I was like, oh, that's an inappropriate piece of clothes.
This is theater of the mind. I don't want there.
Yeah, and imagine the fabric screaming.
Oh.
And not because she was, you know, she wasn't a female bodybuilder. She was just... You're just a really big woman wearing a tank top that she shouldn't have.
What color was it?
The tank top was black with white writing.
At least it was black? Thinning?
Well, in theory, black is supposed to be a thinning color.
Sure.
In reality, there was no doubt.
Not so much.
No, it's... Listen, there's only so much a color can do. Colors are not omnipotent. They can do what they do, and then you're just at the... Well, you're...
Tell that to the Green Lantern.
Yeah.
His weakness is the color yellow.
Is that right?
Colors can do a whole lot.
Well,
in the right context.
In the fantasy world of comics, perhaps. In the Best Western dining hall in the morning, when you're still trying to shake the cobwebs out of your head and you're confronted by that statement, "I work out so I can look good naked," on a woman who, if she was pushing 350, I'm being generous.
Wow.
Yeah. This, and again, I'm not, you know... Whatever size you are, that's your deal. But, man, oh, man.
Because you're allowed to say that because you used to be a big guy.
Right. And I'm not saying, you know, I'm just saying maybe pick a different, or just pick a plain tank top. I wouldn't have noticed her for a second had she just been wearing a plain tank top. I wouldn't have done it. And that was right before we headed out to see to take our swamp tour, which was a big day. We had some adventures, man. Yeah,
this is, I've been looking forward to this since you first mentioned it and your crocodile alligator fetish.
My gators. These are gators, Cody. Alligators are freshwater. Crocodiles are saltwater. So I was dealing with only alligators, if in fact I dealt with any at all.
I stand educated.
I like to educate because I learned things from my Cajun swamp boat captain.
I would hope so.
Captain Anthony. He was my Cajun swamp boat captain. So I'd been looking, and since Molly started school in New Orleans, I wanted to go on a swamp tour because that seems Southern Louisiana to me. It seems like something you do down there. And of course, she'd been on one, so she was above it all. Oh, she'd seen it all before. Blah blah. Shut up.
And she probably thought it was lame.
Well,
because that's a teenager's
game. Sure, that's lame. Oh, I've seen it before. Because at one point during, I was like, "Isn't that cool?" Yeah, I saw it the last time I was here. Shut up. I wanted to throw her in with the gators, use her as chum. But so I'd done some research. I found this one, and we drive out. And it's a beautiful drive down there because the weather was great. So we drive across the causeway, which is an amazing engineering accomplishment. Lake Pontchartrain is huge. And the causeway is a 22-mile road across the heart of the lake. So I don't know how long I'm going to research this. How long it took them to build, or the engineering that went into creating this causeway. So, but you start on one end of the lake and you drive across the width of the lake, and it's amazing. So the lake is over 22 miles across.
Is it kind of like the long land bridge in Madison? Just outside Madison, when you're driving in or out of the city, there's just a road, and it's all there is. It's maybe, you know, 50 feet wide, right, or whatever that would be, and it's land, and it goes straight across a large body of water.
Well, this is not land.
This is a bridge.
Was created by man.
100% bridge.
100% bridge. It's all bridge.
Okay.
It's like I would imagine, and I've never driven to the Keys, but through like the Florida Keys.
Oh, okay, sure.
So you got two lanes going both ways. And at some places, it just like will lift up. There'll just be a hump. And I'm like, it has to do something with engineering and stress and all that because it'll just hump. Anyway, this is a beautiful day. We drive out. We find the swamp. And we get there. And you know me. I don't like people. And we got there early because we didn't know how long it would take us. So we got there early. And as more and more people came, I was getting more and more irate. Because first, a bus pulls up and about 20... I'm guessing it was either a sorority function or a huge bachelorette party. And they get off and they're loud, which is, you know, okay. But then it's a swamp tour. So it's not spacious. There's a little shack where you go up and you check in and you get a gift shop and all that. And then the bathrooms are kind of in sheds off to the side. It's rustic.
Yeah.
Well,
rustic.
These girls all sit on the stairs. So nobody can get up to the check-in point. And it's like, get out of the stairwell.
They needed to sit down, Brian.
But there were benches all over.
But not on a bench. That's not cool.
Is it cool to sit on stairs?
I guess.
I don't know. So they're there. And then the bro buses show up.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. The sleeveless tees, the backwards hats. They're getting off with beers.
Oh,
the bros have arrived. So now we decide, well, we probably should go check in. And I had read that the boats, it was 22 people on a boat. So I knew all these, but we weren't going to be on a boat with all these people. There's a good chance we were going to be on a boat with some of these people. And I didn't like any of them, to be quite honest. So we go and we get in line now in the little shack. And these bros are near us. And the one bro is decidedly hammered. And he is going to be loud. And he is going to drop the F-bomb constantly. And we're in this enclosed area. And every other word is F. And you know, I'm not a prude. I swear pretty much nonstop.
Yeah.
But I try not to swear in front of women and children, unless I'm related to them. And so finally, a woman comes over who works there. And she's like, basically told him to shut up. And that if this is a family place, and if you start anything, the captain's going to turn the boat around, and you're coming back, and you're not getting out. So then they get all snotty. Well, what are we trying to do? And I'm just standing there, and Debbie and Molly are looking at me like, don't say anything. Don't say anything. And I'm like, I'm chomping at the bit. I'm like, you know, you've seen movies where they're trying to hold back a horse, a wild horse.
Yeah.
That was me.
Or a bull.
Bull or a rabid dog. Something. Any beast. You insert your own beast in this metaphor. However you want me to picture me. Whatever wild animal.
A tauntaun.
A tauntaun, a hog, whatever it is. Anyway, so we finally, they give you a wristband. They say, all right, you're going to call your name. Well, we get the red, white, and blue wristband. And we're standing where we're supposed to be. And the woman keeps coming over and counting. And she can't figure out what's going on. She's counting, counting, counting. Well, then she finds out why she can't get the right count. Because another group of bros is wearing red, white, and blue bracelets. And they've decided just to stand over by a tree and not pay attention. So she finds them, brings them over, and then they start getting mouthy. And she tells them the same thing. And now I'm like, oh, really? They're on our boat. I know they're on the boat. Fast forward to them. They calm down when we get on the boat. So they're fine.
That's good.
But then a couple gets on the boat with an infant who cries nonstop. And I'm empathetic. Babies are hard. And I know I'm an old, cranky, selfish human being. But at some point you go, all right, I understand that babies cry. Because that's what babies do. You can't help it. But then do you sacrifice doing something because you have a baby? Maybe. But in the end, I'm jumping ahead a little. After the captain at one point went, if we see this one gator, everybody needs to be absolutely quiet. Even the baby. Or that gator's gone and we'll never see it again. And everybody kind of turns and looks at the family with the baby. And you can see the mom and dad are like mortified because they've been trying everything to keep this baby from crying. And then about 5 minutes later, the dad took the baby and covered it with a blanket. Didn't suffocate. Right.
Took
a dark turn.
Very dark.
And then we used the baby to lure out the gators.
Wow.
That's how the story ends. No, and then, so covered the baby and then the baby fell asleep. All right. So they tell you when you book this tour that, you know, they don't guarantee that you're going to see any wildlife. It's a nature cruise. You might see some animals.
Yeah. Like the Loch Ness tour that I took.
Sure.
They don't guarantee that you'll see the Loch Ness Monster, but it's always possible.
Right, you could see. You never know.
Mm-hmm.
So we're cruising through, and it's beautiful. The swamp is great, and I'm loving the moss hanging from the trees, and it's very peaceful.
Is it pretty?
Gorgeous. Yeah, it is pretty.
I imagine
in a
swamps
weird,
being gray and dank, dark. And
it's dark in some parts because of the overgrowth, but now it's spring, so everything is green. And the moss hangs from the trees, and the trees hang over, and the cool stumps of the cypress trees come out of the ground, and there was some big knotty cypress that's been in some movies, and so it was cool. And you're going down these little inlets, and we learned about all sorts of vegetation and birds and this and that. And then we're going down this one way, and another boat's coming back, and they were like, there's a huge hog down there, because they have wild hogs in the swamp. So we're cruising up, and I was kind of near the front, just by when you filed in. There were two sides, sitting a two-sided bench facing out, and the first people on went all the way up, and that ended up being the back of the boat where the captain was, and then I was more toward the front. And I look, and there's this giant feral hog coming out of the bush, and I'm like, ah, there's a hog. And then everybody sees it, and we get up right close to it. And this thing is gigantic. This thing had to weigh 300 to 400 pounds, this hog. And I've got pictures of it. And
was it wearing a tank top that said I work out so I can look so naked?
No, but I knew it looked good naked.
Oh, well, hey.
But it was, and it had the real spiky fur, and it was covered in dirt and slime because it had been rooting around underneath. And it came up near the boat, and the captain had a couple marshmallows. And it, like, every time it opens its mouth, you hear this click. That's because its teeth are rubbing together, sharpening. So every time it opened its mouth, its teeth were sharpening. And it had these giant fang teeth and this long nose. It was insane.
Wow.
So now it's right by the boat, and it's, you know, flipping around and grunting and groaning, and walks around a little bit. And I'm like, okay. And they said there's a herd of like 20 of them back there. We only saw the one. That was when Molly went, yeah, I saw the hog last time I was here. Really? Yeah. And I'm like, well, I don't think there's a guy back there pushing the hog out. Like, it's showtime, Bessie. Get out there. Even if there was, I don't care. It was really cool. All right, so now we've seen the hog. Everybody's all jacked up. Now we want to see gators. Got to see gators. And he's telling us, well, you know, the gators, this is the time of year where they start to come out of, I don't remember the term, but basically hibernation. And they come up and they sun because their body has to be 80 degrees for them to be able to eat. Because something with their digestive system.
Oh, interesting.
So they have to, that's why you see gators sunning themselves. Because the scales on the back act like little solar panels. And it heats the gator up. So once the gator gets to 80 degrees, then it can eat. So they'll just lay around and wait. And we're like, ooh, gator information. This is excellent. Then he tells us about this big gator that they saw. He saw earlier this morning. Yank, yank. But that, you know, they don't see very often, so we'll see what's going on.
Is this like the Hollywood home tours where they say, oh, it's David Letterman's house. Yeah, usually he comes out waves. I talk to him all the time.
Yeah, well, these guys, you know, the deal on this tour group, this is their line, is that these are all Cajun guys, and they're all local, and they know all this stuff. And this guy was saying he was some sort of wildlife officer, and he had the Cajun accent, and he seemed very outdoorsy. Oh. And at one point, he tried to reach over the boat to grab a snake. So I thought, all right, this guy's legit.
I would have just called him Gambit the whole time. It's all I would have done. Gambit, what's that?
He was wearing the blue blockers.
Oh,
it was crazy. Camouflage shorts, blue blockers. He's ready. So now he goes, this part I found kind of, so we're driving, we're floating, and we see a gator just lounging.
On land?
No, in the water. Okay. Just in the weeds, just kind of laying there, sunning itself. We're like, ooh, so we get kind of close, take a couple pictures. And everybody's excited. All right, now we saw a gator. Didn't really do anything because there were a couple marshmallows just floating on the water. So he said, see those marshmallows? He didn't even bother with them. He's not hot enough. He can't eat. Oh, all right. Lending credence to your theory that a gator's got to be 80 degrees. All right, I see how you are, Captain Science.
Logic.
It is. It all made sense. Then he gives us the old, well, listen, this is part of the tour where I'm supposed to take you by some old camps. And then the tour is going to be over. But we could skip that and we'd go looking for gators. And like anybody's going to go, no, I would really enjoy seeing the camps. That would be great. Because it's old Cajun, you know, people live in the swamp. And they, you know, that's it. They come out there and they boat and they hunt and they do whatever.
I would not want to live there.
It was crazy. There were and they're all up on stilts, you know, these houses. They got to be up. And they got to be up 17 feet above sea level to get flood insurance. So now they're way up. And it's just, it's crazy.
Why would anyone live there?
Because they're swamp people.
And why?
Because they like to eat muskrat and, you know, all sorts of craziness. I don't know. Because you can go back. It's most of this, they owned a little bit of the swamp, but most of it was protected wildlife area. Like state wildlife area. Where you could still do some gigging for frogs and fishing and some hunting. And this guy, you know, does it all. He's the captain. He was very Cajun-y. But yeah, I don't know why you'd want to live out in the swamp.
How far back do these swamp people date? Are they indigenous peoples? Or
That we didn't get into.
Oh, okay.
I think, you know, some of the people there are just modern swamp folk.
Like hipsters?
No, hipsters wouldn't survive out there.
They wear skinny jeans?
No. These people would eat hipsters. Mm. This would be like deliverance. This would be, yeah, it'd be hipster deliverance. So now, of course, we've all said we want to go hunting gators. We don't care about the camps. We want to go see some gators. So we're going down to where he saw the big gator, where we all have to be quiet, where the baby becomes chum. Everybody can be. By this time, the baby's asleep. That's good. Well, the big gator's not there. But then we turned down this other little, it was called a dead end canal. Because it just, the water is still because there's no, it doesn't flow out to anything. It's just a long canal. So we're going down. And all of a sudden, we start seeing gators. And we see one, and it kind of doesn't pay attention again. Like, too good for us. Doesn't want our marshmallow. Screw that, gator. Even though now he puts a hot dog on a stick, and he's slapping the water, that gator won't come. But then another gator comes. Starts coming right to the boat. Pretty big gator, like an 8-foot gator. And you can tell how long a gator is. You can estimate if you look from the tip of its nose to an eye. So, like, if from the tip of its nose to his eyes is, like, 6 inches, that's a 6-foot gator.
Oh.
See, again, gator knowledge. I don't know when we're ever going to need this knowledge. But if we were ever doing a remote from a swamp and a gator started coming up, I'd go, I estimate that's, like, a 7-foot gator. And you'd go, how'd you know that? I go, well, because I went from Tippett's nose to his eyeballs.
So that's the Animal Kingdom's version of, you know what they say about a guy with
right.
big feet.
Exactly. You okay. know what they say about a gator with a long nose.
Got it.
Yep. And it's weird because they do. You just see their eyeballs. Just did. Then they start coming. And they're dinosaurs. These things are dinosaurs. This is Jurassic Park. I'm not kidding. Because they look... Well, you've seen some of the pictures I posted. I posted one on the show page. That was my... And I took those all with my phone. So the one gator comes, and he's got it now. This gator is hungry. This gator is 85 degrees or more. He wants to eat. So they use marshmallows sometimes, or they use, with the gators, they use a piece of a hot dog on a stick.
I was going to say, why marshmallows?
I don't know.
That seems really random.
But it gets them coming. Because
it would get me coming.
Sure, I like marshmallows. I'll jump. So I have a picture of a gator leaping. You see its underbelly, and this was about a 6-foot gator. He had the hot dog on the stick, and he's holding it above the water. And the gator leaps out of the water, straight as an arrow, and grabs this hot dog and jumps back in. And then they're swimming. Then a couple more start coming. So at one point, there were 3 gators. Swimming around, big size gators swimming around. Then one gator comes from the right side of the boat, and we throw out a marshmallow, and a gator starts coming from the left side of the boat. And now these gators are both going for the marshmallow at breakneck gator speed. And the right hand gator slams in to the left hand gator, grabs a marshmallow, and then the left hand gator swims away and keeps coming back. But to see them coming at you with their eyes just above the water, and then they get close and you can see their whole body, and they open their mouths, it is amazing. It is terrifying. And you're like, oh my God, what's going on? Like, if you fell in the water, you're gator bait. They just eat you. They don't care. They're just there. And the guy's, oh, yeah, he's trying to like, reach down and slap one. And I'm like, what are you doing, Captain, trying to slap a gator? Don't slap a gator.
Did any of the bros try to slap the gators?
No, the bros were, at this point, they were all impressed. Everybody was, you don't see that kind of stuff every day. I don't care how cool you think you are. And Molly tried to maintain her air of cool. But then at one point, she was like, back up so she could see. Because the captain would say, all right, if the gators are over here, people on that side sit down, let the other people on the back side stand up so you can see. And I got some video of the one where they went after each other with the marshmallow. I love seeing nature in its, you know, like I'm visiting. They're where they're supposed to be doing what they're doing. We're just kind of eavesdropping. And to see these things, it was crazy. And then to realize how they can camouflage themselves where you can't, you know, when they were laying in the weeds, you had to really be looking and really be focused, and then all of a sudden you'd see an eye. And it would, it just start coming at you. And I had an experience years ago with, I'm guessing now it's a crocodile, because now that I know that alligators are freshwater and crocodiles are saltwater, I was in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, doing comedy. We were staying in a condo on a golf course. And we just took a walk out on the golf course, just to walk around. And we get down by this creek, and there were some baby crocodiles. Now, we didn't get real close to the baby crocodiles, maybe, I don't know, 20 feet. And we're looking, and all of a sudden, the mama crocodile comes up over the bank of the creek and starts hissing.
Oh.
And started, like, coming toward us. We're like, we got a skedaddle. And we booked. But it was... It was crazy.
How fast can they move on land, the gators?
You know what? He said how fast they could swim and how fast they could run, and it was an amazingly high mile per hour, but I can't remember. I want to say in the 30s.
I don't want anything to do with gators.
It was amazing. It was amazing. I'll post a video. I'll post that video of the two gators going after each other.
Well, you got to send me a photo, and then I'll post that as the image for this.
Oh, sure. I'll say, yeah. Well, my favorite one is the one I posted on the show page the other day.
Got it.
But I'll send you the one with where it's just belly, where the gator is shooting up to get the thing. And, you know, then it's funny because I'm using my phone on the camera on the phone. And I'm trying to time it like I'm a wildlife photographer, you know, like I'm in the bush with Mutual of Omaha. And Debbie has the good digital camera, the waterproof one that I gave her a couple years ago for her birthday. And she's, you know, tried to take pictures, and she's having all kinds of trouble. She's looking at mine. She goes, "You got to send me all your pictures." Because she got a few good ones. But I don't know what it, I was just lucky, I guess, because I was like, all right, I got to leave enough room because I have a couple where I, the heads of the alligator jumped out of the frame.
Yeah.
So then I learned real quick, you know, give it up, move it up, and got lucky.
Didn't we talk on the terrestrial show about the study that you remember things less if you take pictures of them?
Yes, but I wanted to, I put the camera down enough to, like, I watched a lot of this happening.
Yeah.
But I also wanted to get some pictures because I've never been this close to live gators. So, you know, I wanted both. I wanted to see it, and I wanted there to be some photographic evidence of it in case I fell in the water.
Sure.
And was eaten by gators.
Sure.
Because I'm not wrestling a gator.
As long as you weren't taking a selfie, because the number of fatalities
no, there was
selfie.
No, there was like, hey, check me out with the gator.
Selfie fatalities made all-time record this year.
Yes, because people are dumb.
Yeah.
It's nature weeding out the stupid. It's survival of the fittest. If you're taking a selfie in front of a tiger and that tiger bites your head off, good. Good for the tiger. Congratulations. If you're on a cliff and you're taking a selfie and you fall off, I'm sorry for your family. You're dumb. Don't get that close to the cliff. What are you doing? Who cares? Nobody cares that you were that close to it. Listen. You could walk 3 feet away from the edge and still make it look like you're right on the edge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, move the angle. Take your selfie stick. Angle it around a little bit. Then I had an argument with Molly about the angle. Now, I know from being in television that when you shoot someone from below, it makes them look taller and longer. And sometimes when you're taking a selfie, you're trying to get a sign that's above you, so you have to shoot below to get you and the sign.
Yeah.
That turned into a huge thing. You must shoot from above. I would have to be 18 feet tall to shoot this sign from above. I have to shoot from here. Well, no, then that's a bad angle. Ask any woman. That's a bad angle.
Ask any woman.
I was like, all right. And then I started flirting with women. What's your best angle? Upside down. What? Yes. And then we scurried away.
How'd that go for you?
Not well. That's why I have nowhere to go tonight after the show. All by myself.
I'm going to crash on my couch.
Oh, that'd be nice. Under the dragon?
We have an air mattress we can up under the dragon.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I'm going to be sleeping on an air mattress next week.
That's true. You'll be on the road.
On the road.
Again. Wait, yes. Why are you on an air mattress?
See, that's not going to happen. When we get to L.A., the place that Molly is staying is a studio apartment, basically. But the woman who owns it said, oh, well, we have an air mattress, so if your husband wants to stay with Molly for the couple nights he's here, he's more than welcome. And I said, oh, yeah, I do, you know, because on a budget, I'd rather not have to drop $150 a night on a hotel, at least. But then I thought to myself, you know, I'm an old man. Molly is not. So for the two nights that I'm there, I can have the bed.
I was going to say.
And Molly can have the air mattress. Again, that did not meet with the...
She didn't offer you that?
Oh, no.
Are you kidding me? Who wouldn't offer
now,
their
maybe
parent
she would,
that?
Maybe she would have when we got there, but I don't think she's thought of it at this. She had thought of it at this point, but I immediately thought of it because I was like, oh, man. Just the thought of having to get down to an air mattress and try to get back up in the morning. No, thank you.
So you brought it up.
Well, I just mentioned it in passing.
Oh, okay. And that went over really well.
Didn't go over the great, but nothing, let's be honest, nothing I say to her goes over great.
Apparently not.
I could say it's morning. Everything we said to her in New Orleans was met with some sort of disdain. It was like, really? That's okay? Like, she comes out, you know, this was Wednesday morning. And she'd been up all night. She'd been up studying because kids these days take their finals seriously, I guess.
Yours does.
Yeah. So she'd been up all night studying before we got there. She was studying on Tuesday night after we dropped her off. So we get there at like 7:50 so she can go to her test and we can get in the room to start boxing stuff up, which we talked about on the terrestrial show. She walks out with her earbuds in, phone in her hand, doesn't even look at us. And I'm like, hello. She just raises her head.
Flips her wrist at you.
And then I give her a look. She, what could be the problem now? I go, well, the fact that you didn't even say good morning could be an issue. I'm tired. I wanted to go, you know what? We're all tired. Everybody's tired.
But. You know what? I had an incident with all my friends.
Uh-oh.
My parents were visiting me my third year in Chicago, and I lived with two of my best friends I grew up with. So we had known each other since first grade.
They knew your parents?
They knew my parents. They used to – my house was kind of the hangout house for all my best friends in high school.
Sure.
It was pretty centrally located. We had our own area away from the parents. And my parents,
our own area.
Yeah, my parents generally stocked the fridge with Mountain Dews. And,
to keep the gamers alert.
Yeah, and would order pizzas for us and stuff. So
nice.
They spent a ton of time with my parents. My parents know all my friends so well. They always ask about them every time I talk to them. So they're visiting. A couple of them were visiting from out of town.
Okay.
So it's me, my two roommates who have known my parents my whole life, a couple other friends who have known my parents their whole life. They're sitting playing a video game. They're playing a South Park tower defense game. I won't explain what that means. They're playing a South Park game, and my parents came in and said hi, and they didn't pause it. And they just kept playing and chatted on the side with my parents. And my dad left, I guess, basically his hair burst into flame.
Oh, sure.
Because he just – but the, because, you know, they should have
paused the game. Yes, stop being so rude.
Pause the game, stand up, be respectful, shake, you know, say anything.
Right.
But in – some of my friends' defense. At least one of my friends grew up in a household that was not an upper middle class, maybe.
Hadn't been taught manners and
manners,
etiquette.
Not a manners and etiquette focused home environment. And that's tricky, though, sometimes.
Of course.
You know, I mean. With your daughter, maybe she, and not that you didn't teach her manners.
She has
and
good
things,
manners
but,
with other people.
Oh,
it's just
okay.
With us. No. With other people, she's very polite. With us, she sees no need to. She's great. You know, she's very polite.
She's always very polite to me.
Sure, she's very polite to everybody except for us.
Okay.
But it's
hard sometimes. I used to for years there were all these little social cues or things that I wouldn't know, and a friend in college or after college would say, "How'd you not know this?" And it's like, I don't know, because
nobody ever taught me.
Parents can't teach every single thing in life that you need to know.
You teach basic manners. You teach civility. You teach, you know, respect. Shake somebody's hand. Look them in the eye. Those kind of things.
Stuff like that. I got my niece for Christmas the book How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Really?
Have you read that?
I have not.
Amazing book.
I don't win people. I don't influence anyone.
You win.
That's sad.
You influence some people to text in angrily.
Sure,
that shouldn't be on the air.
Right, those people, the callers. Sure.
Taxpayers bailed you out of your
of
job.
Course,
and
yes.
Lots of course,
yes. You're right. Okay. You're right. I'm so helicopter parent. I'm sexist. What else am I? Misogynistic.
Did they ever say misogynistic outright or just sexist? Because I think there's a difference.
No, there is, but there was also the day that I made the joke about women's empowerment, and that got somebody all
You made a joke
up.
About that?
I just made a passing comment.
Hmm.
It was in context, it was fine.
You and your passing comments.
I just. I make,
you should be ashamed. Someone should teach you manners. You
somebody
know
needs
that?
To teach me something. Somebody needs to give me a good, swift kick of the.
Somebody, in the yellow stripe on your
yellow,
back.
Oh, my region. Maybe they need to get a gator and put it down my pants. A little baby gator.
Wow.
Chomp, chomp.
There you go.
Yeah, teach me a lesson or six. So that's, yeah. Oh, and then gator follow up. Can we do an actual Florida News gator story?
We can do a. Quit. Well, yeah. I was going to say we should probably wrap up soonest.
We got to wrap up?
But we can we can do
this.
Well,
this is a very quick story.
This one
is
pretty hilarious.
Right. A guy in Florida, 22-year-old man, was bitten on the hand by an alligator that he thought was dead. Now, in their defense, I've seen them sleeping, and they do look lifeless. But once they start moving, they are not. The man had caught the gator on Apopka Springs Boulevard near the shore of Lake Apopka in Monteverde, Florida. Officials say he thought it was dead, but it bit him on the hand. He was taken to, so he tried, caught it, was pulling it in, thought it was dead, gator opened up his mouth, snap. And that's not good.
And now he's going to coach Adam Sandler on how to be a better golfer.
Perhaps that is true. He's Chubbs McGirt, or who is it? Or he's Captain Hook?
Whatever.
Who is he? Could be Captain Hook from Peter Pan.
Was Hook's hand bitten off by a gator or a croc?
Oh, good Ooh. Question. Crocodile, I think.
I thought it was a crocodile.
It is a crocodile. Same concept.
That would make sense.
Yeah, seawater.
But is the water in the Neverland sea? It's salt water? Or where Neverland is?
I don't know where
it
was
sailing.
I don't know
planet,
where he was sailing. That where the ship, where his ship was, where he found the croc.
Neverland is an island, but I don't know where it's situated. I thought it was past a star. Isn't it in the sky?
I believe. Yeah, but I think Captain Hook was also like Earthbound.
Earthbound, the video game for Super Nintendo?
Earthbound, the reality. I don't know how Captain Hook could be reality.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm gonna have to look into this Peter Pan lore.
Yeah, but I believe he was a crocodile.
Huh.
So, but either way, some sort of scaly prehistoric beast.
Were any of the gators? Were there ticking sounds from any of
the
gators?
No, none of these gators. There's the. This is the one I'll send you.
Oh,
that was a good one.
That is a gator leaping out of water.
When they come right at you,
that's freaky.
These are not little gators,
no,
right?
That's freaky.
This is not pet store gators. And they're just hanging. Oh yeah, I'm gonna eat you. You come on.
Oh boy.
Yeah, these were big gators, and they look. They leap.
So that water looks really clear. It looks like a nice waterway. I always picture swamps as the water is just gray,
yeah,
completely opaque. There's always a layer of fog or mist on the water, and it's dark and overcast and shrouded. I think of a cartoon
like
jungle.
Like Scooby-Doo. It was like I was on the Mystery Machine going back to look at gators.
I guess.
No, it was the water. The water is moving. So there's, there's silt and stuff all churned up. But you could see, the gators under the surface when they came swimming up. It wasn't bad.
So it was like a normal place, just a little darker and thicker foliage.
He explained it where if you took like a, filled a gallon bottle of water, by the time like the tour was over, all the sediment would have dropped, and the water up top would be so clean you could drink it. So everything would have settled down because the water is constantly moving out there. So that's why it looks like dirty, but it's just the stuff kind of getting churned up. But once it's able to settle, it's really clean.
Bizarre.
Yeah, it was. It's a whole ecosystem.
Bizarre.
They had the elephant ear plants and some razor grass and it was all kind of craziness.
I'd like to check it out because I know New Orleans is like its own planet.
Yeah,
in
New
America.
Orleans is unbelievable.
And I feel like a swamp is. I really enjoy places, sites, people, attractions that you can't find anywhere else.
Right. No, and that's why I always wanted to go to one because it's uniquely that region.
Yeah.
I'd like to go to I'd like to go on an airboat like through the Everglades, one of those big. That was a great description. Wasn't
great description.
It? You know, the propeller on the back, the fast
hovercraft.
Airboats. Yeah, I'd like to take one of those through the swamps in the Everglades. He did get it up a couple times pretty fast to go, just move to the other place. But other than this, it was a real low boat and moved, and we went slowly through the place. So that was cool. I like doing that too. I mean, what's the point? It's cool to go, like say New Orleans. Yeah, you go to the French Quarter. That's cool. But there's so much other stuff around it, that you can go and see, and so much culture. And that's any city. I try to do the same thing you do. I try to go and see, let's get off the beaten path. Don't eat at a chain restaurant. Don't go here.
Oh, I don't even mean necessarily the beaten path. I just mean places that are unique. Like,
right.
I really want to take my girlfriend to Las Vegas.
Okay.
Because she's never been.
Oh.
And love or hate Vegas, there is nowhere on the planet like Las Vegas.
No, exactly.
Not
right.
Even, I mean, nothing.
And it gets more bizarre every year.
Oh, my God.
It gets crazier and crazier. Yeah, you've got to go to Vegas.
I really want, and she's very, she's a big history person.
Right.
Likes to have history, and I think New Orleans would be great for that.
Right.
A lot of history there, but she doesn't know much about Vegas history other than mobsters built this place.
Right.
Now big casinos and big corporations own it. That's not really her cup of tea, but I differ. I say the sheer spectacle is so massive.
It's America.
And it is everything.
It is America.
It is everything.
It's gluttony. It's every seven deadly sins all in one town. And they're all legal. And they're all encouraged.
But not all. It's all not all negative. Because I try to get away from that, too. You walk around Caesar's Palace, and you're walking through a palace.
Oh, it's amazing.
I mean, you walk around the Bellagio, and you're like, I'm in Versailles.
Right. You can go to Paris and go up in the Eiffel Tower, and no, it's not the Eiffel Tower, but it's pretty close.
It is modern day, just I don't know, palaces, castles, whatever you want to call it. It's most
marvels
modern
of architecture and design and creativity, and it's all built on people's vices.
Yeah,
and it's great, and you go there, and I mean, I've been going to Vegas since all these big places weren't there, and it's amazing. But yeah, that's a good place to go. And no, I understand what you mean about unique. There's things that you go to a place, what can I do here that I cannot do anywhere else? And that's, that's fun.
And even the French Quarter, because just the architecture alone is totally unique.
And the music, the other day we're walking by, there's a dude just in the middle of the day sitting out on the corner playing unbelievable music. And that was his job for the day. On this corner, just he was going to play music. He had his case out and he's doing his thing.
If only Chicago had places like that.
Well, but you know,
but it's different in New Orleans.
It
I'm
is
guessing.
Different because they're all out. And but I'm saying you're in the French Quarter, so you're surrounded by the architecture. You're surrounded by everything else. You're seeing signs hanging like apartment for rent, haunted, and they're legit. I mean, this is what
says
they're
that?
Yeah. We got a haunted apartment. You want to rent it? And you go by and all these courtyards and things behind shutters, and it's a different world. And then you go up St. Charles Avenue, and you're in the uptown in the Garden District, and these mansions that are just jaw-dropping. And you're like, what do the people who live in these do? What's their job? How did they end up here? Is this generational wealth that you're in these castles, basically, all up and down these beautiful tree-lined streets? And then you go to another area, and it's these little shotgun houses. And all through those neighborhoods are the common threads of this culture that's all kind of mixing. And then it's built in with a city that's having the same problems as any major city, with crime and everything else and racial disparity. And, you're trying to balance all of that. And I will tell you this. You think people drive bad here? Everybody in New Orleans is driving for a check, because you can't go 50 feet on any expressway without a personal injury attorney billboard. Get in a wreck? Call me. Put the Womack on him. Do this. Call it. Every third commercial on TV is for a personal injury attorney. And these people drive like if they, because the commercials go, I was in an accident and so-and-so got me $250,000. Everybody's driving to try to win the lottery because they don't stop really at intersections. They just kind of keep rolling out. If you try to change lanes, even with a signal, they'll zoom up to try to close the gap and I'm like, and it finally hit me. I was like, oh my God, they're all driving for a settlement.
Wow.
It's insane.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's something unique. Yeah. So rent a car. Drive around.
Did you end up taking Ubers?
No.
Really?
No, because where we were staying, it was a little far, and I wasn't drinking, The only night we went into the Quarter was Thursday, and I probably should have. It cost me $25 to park, but it was one of those nights where we were going out for a nice dinner, so I had one drink, and then it was like, all right, then we were walking around and stuff, so.
When you have one drink, you saved more than $25 in drinks anyway.
Oh, yeah. Well, and it was weird because that was Cinco de Mayo, and there were a lot of people out anyway on a Thursday night in the Quarter, but then there were huge groups just milling about. It was crazy. The whole vibe is weird.
Hmm.
And then, but it's cool. And then you're in the swamp. Then we went to Abita Springs, to the Abita Brewery, because I love beer, and went out there, and that was fun. I learned about beer. I learned about the springs. I learned about all sorts of things. I learned my wife loves hard root beer.
Who doesn't love hard root beer?
I had never
probably
had,
you.
No, I don't not love it because I love root beer. I have a thing about root beer on tap. I love root beer on tap.
Really?
Yes. There's something about it.
Huh.
I can take or leave it in a bottle. Don't like it in a can. But on tap, man, I could sit and drink root beer all day. Till I went into some sort of diabetic coma.
Never knew that about you.
I love root beer on tap.
And have you ever had not your father's root beer?
I haven't. Now, Molly has had that one.
Uh-oh.
She likes that. She likes the Abita makes a bootlegger's something. It's their hard root beer.
Okay.
And I tasted it, and it tasted just like their root beer, which is made with real sugar as opposed to corn. This is one of the, you know, where they're giving you the whole deal.
Yeah.
They make it with real sugar, and it was really good. Now, I don't know if I could drink a whole bottle of it because it's really sweet.
That's the thing.
It's really sweet.
I got some Not Your Father's Root Beer for a party last winter, and my girlfriend and I each had two or three, and at the end, it's like,
it's your teeth start to...
It's a bit much.
We, because I bought a different brand, because Molly had asked when she was home at Christmas, can I have a... Yeah, okay, in the house, I figure if she's with us, she can have a drink, that's fine.
What the heck?
20.
Yeah.
So I had bought some. She didn't like that brand, but now she likes this kind. Well, this... See, so we're packing up her stuff. I know we're running late, but since with the drinking when you went, so we opened one of these like footstools she had with storage, and there's a bottle of peach vodka and a bottle of some other kind of vodka.
Peach vodka?
And I was like, really? And then part of me was like, well, I know she's had drinks. That's fine. Whatever. She seems to be careful. But if my parents were coming and I was underage, I would have made sure that I didn't have any of that stuff around. But she left it there, and I said something to her later. She made some comment about, oh, can I get a drink at the restaurant? I go, no, you're not 21. I go, you can just go back to your room and have some of your peach vodka. Oh, that stuff is nasty. We just had that for, I was like, okay.
Yeah, well, it is nasty.
Then why'd you keep the bottles? So that, you know, you knew we were coming to pack you up.
It could have been worse. You're going to make fun of me as usual. But year on Halloween, I bought a bottle of Peachtree Schnapps for some reason at college. And I don't know what I started drinking with or what I was mixing it with or why I needed it. I need it for hurricanes or something. I don't know. I drank the whole bottle of peach schnapps.
Oh.
The whole bottle.
Oh.
But like I literally, after the first or second party, paper bagged it, walked around, and drank straight out of it.
Oh.
Just finished off the whole thing. That was a good time.
Dude, that's foul.
Yeah.
That is not good.
I could not do that today.
I couldn't do those hard root beers for more like one.
Yeah.
I tasted it, I liked it. Then I also tried they make pop there too. So they make root beer, then they make a king cake pop. King cake soda.
Oh boy.
I had one of my little samples cuz they give you coins to get some. Had one of those. It was almost like drinking syrup. It was so good. It tasted exactly like a king cake, but 4 ounces was about all I could handle.
Mm.
I was like, I can't have another one of these because I'm already, my teeth are grinded. I'm feeling shaky. It was great.
Did you have, what did you have for Cinco de Mayo? Any?
I Googled, the internet's a wonderful thing, Cody. I don't know if you've heard of it.
Have
you ever used
this?
The internet?
Did you use an application?
I do use some applications. I try to find a Wi-Fi network that I could get on.
Interesting.
So what will I do? I'll cruise the...
You'll surf the highway.
Information
super highway.
That's what I'm doing.
Do you have the Yelp app?
I do.
To me, that is the most useful app for finding food near you.
Well, that's kind of what I did. I found out, I knew the town where the brewery was, and I said, I looked up restaurants in this Covington, Louisiana, and then I said, ooh, it's Cinco de Mayo, and my wife immediately went, margaritas! Because when she says margaritas, she uses that voice. Normally, she talks like a woman.
Yeah, she doesn't sound like that normally to me.
So she, margarita!
Yeah.
And then usually she hits out a...
And it's not a really Spanish-sounding
not at
accent
all.
Either.
Weird.
It's kind of an angry...
Yeah, like she's screaming at somebody. Like somebody named Margarita has wronged her.
And kind of slurred a little bit, too. Margarita! Yeah, it's kind
of
very odd.
It's weird. We found a real cool Mexican place. And we get there, and it was packed because it's Cinco de Mayo, and it's lunch, and everybody's eating outside. And there was you know, live music. It was festive, and oh my goodness! And we had a couple margaritas. We pregamed before we went to the brewery. You got a pregame. So, but then I had told Dave Plyer, go to WGNRadio.com, and there's an interview with Steve Cochran, Bill Left, Patty Vasquez, and myself being interviewed by Dave Plyer about stand-up comedy, because he interviewed Don Rickles. So he had asked, and I said, yeah, and he was going to do it at 12:30. Well, we ordered early enough where I thought my food should have come in plenty of time, and I'm waiting and waiting. And they said they were going to call me at like 2:25 or 12:25. My food drops at 12:20. So now I've tried to wolf down my lunch and my margarita in 5 minutes. I did it. But I was into the third fish taco, my last fish taco, when the phone rang and it was Dave's producer. And I was like, hello? He goes, hey, Brian, you ready? I go, give me 3 minutes. And so, hump, glug, swish, swish with some water. And then I told Debbie, just, you know, finish your lunch, have another margarita, whatever. I'm going to do this. She knew I was going to do it. So that all happened. And then we had a nice Cinco de Mayo. How about you? Did you stinko? No, I know your lady friend loves to habla de Espanol.
She does. She's very fluent in Spanish. So I decided she had a long week, long hard work week, and I decided, you know, let's do something kind of fun.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna get some margarita mix. I'll call up my sister, have her come over, and we'll do some things. Boom. But I didn't get margarita mix.
Oh, what'd you get?
I found a recipe for mezcal margaritas.
Oh.
Now, when Karen...
Margaritas!
Margaritas! So, when Karen Conti and Jerry were in Mexico a year or two ago...
Yeah, it was a while ago.
They brought me back a little... What is it? The 750 milliliters?
Yeah, I think so.
Not the big one. The tiny
right.
thing
like
of...
Like a pint?
Of mezcal with a worm. With the worm in it. So, you know, authentic. It was very nice of them. And I knew I'd drink at some point. Well, I found this mezcal margarita. And
So,
the thing is, we figure every Mexican place is going to be packed.
Yes.
Cinco de Mayo. And I don't want to just have a thing of tequila and margarita mix and just dump it. And there's only three of us.
Right.
It's not a big party. So rather than make essentially a jungle juice of margaritas, we'll do something nice and fancy. So I got some, Grand Marnier.
Oh,
Grand Marnier.
Fancy.
Grand Marnier is, I think it was one part Grand Marnier, one part agave nectar,
yeah.
Two parts mezcal, and then one or two parts lime juice. And
wow.
That's it.
That sounds pretty good.
It was phenomenal.
Really?
Phenomenal.
We'll have to try those out.
So we finished that off, and then a couple of other people did join us, and we had some Modelo Especial and some Corona.
Fantastico.
And some
Muy
other.
Bueno,
yeah,
Cody.
And some more.
Si.
Some more generic kind of tequilas. But then the night began so well, and it transpired so well. And then following that, things happened.
Really?
Things happened. It's a cautionary tale. I've told you I've been going to the dentist lately.
Yes.
I got teeth whitening trays 2 weeks ago.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah.
How are they working?
Well, I don't know. You tell me.
They look water. I got to get some of those.
Yeah, so got these teeth whitening things, been doing it religiously, and they gave me the highest concentration, 35% acidity or whatever. Leave it in for between 3 and 30 minutes.
Oh, wow.
No longer than 30 minutes.
Okay.
So a couple times I left it in a couple minutes extra, whatever. Well, I had a lot of alcohol in me, but not enough, not too much to where I forgot to brush my teeth and floss like a responsible
dental hygienist.
Then I put in the trays. I go to snuggle up with my girlfriend for a couple minutes before heading back into the bathroom to remove the trays, and woke up 4.5 hours later.
Oh, man.
My teeth hurt. For 2 days straight.
Oh, man.
Hurt.
Just.
I still felt it a little this morning.
The acid
two
just
days
eating
later.
Away.
It was so bad. So, don't ever do that.
All right.
Next time I'm drunk, I am not going to put acid on my teeth.
That's probably best.
And pass
yeah,
out.
Yeah, do that the next night. Speaking of jungle juice, another fun thing about New Orleans, not only does everywhere have to-go cups, so if you're drinking somewhere and you're leaving, they go, you want a to-go cup? Doesn't matter where. Fancy restaurants, anywhere. To
open
go
containers, like in Las Vegas?
See, yeah. So you could just wander around, and then you can also drive through the frozen daiquiri stores. The, you know, like a Fat Tuesday, where the adult slushies, boozy slushies.
Yeah.
You can just drive right through, which we did. On the way, what day was this? It was Friday. So we're going back to the hotel, and there was called New Orleans Original Daiquiris. And every time we're there, they're packed. And there's a certain clientele that likes really sweet drinks, and these places are packed. So Molly had asked if she could have one, and we were like, okay, we'll get you one since you're with us. And, you know.
Right.
So we drive through, and I'm like, wait a minute, we're going to drive through to get alcohol? And Debbie's like, yeah, there's a drive through right there. So, okay, so we're about a mile from the hotel. Now, I was panicked, so I got one, and I had them hold it in the back seat. Because I was like, I don't even want it near me, because I'm not going to drink it while I'm driving. One, because I don't know if it's legal, and two, if I get brain freeze behind the wheel, things are going to go terribly wrong.
Why is that a thing?
Brain freeze or drive-through
daiquiris? No, the drive-through daiquiris.
I don't know, but it worked. I pull up, I say, and they're like, what are you going to have? And I had, because we're, you know, again, I'm a nervous Nelly. So Molly's going to be 20. I'm like, what if they ask for everybody's ID? And she's like, they're not going to ask for IDs. I'm like, all right. So two large jungle juices and a large Mardi Gras mash. We didn't even know what was in it. But they got a jungle juice, both of them. And then I got a Mardi Gras mash, which I ended up, we looked it up, was bourbon, triple sec, and a bunch of tropical flavors. And it was, yes siree, delicious. So much so that I only drank about half of it because my brain was hurting and we were going to go get something to eat. But then Saturday morning as we were checking out of the hotel, I had half a daiquiri in the refrigerator that was still slushy. I'm like, well, I can't let this go to waste. So I started my day off with half a daiquiri.
Wow.
But yeah, you could drive through. Just drive. And that's why we figured now not only is everybody driving for a check, they're driving like that because they're hammered. So everybody's hammered and trying to get a big settlement check every time they get behind the wheel. So it's a constant adventure.
Seems like a recipe for...
disaster.
Fun.
Fun and disaster.
I was going to say fun.
Yeah, well, it was, and it is, but there's the potential. Every time, and I wasn't driving after drinking, but every time I was in the car, it was like white-knuckling because people are out of their minds. And then they get mad if they keep... Like, all right, say I'm on a north-south street, and I don't have any stop signs or anything, and somebody on a cross street has a stop sign. Well, if they keep rolling out, which they always do, and you honk at them, they get all upset. Flipping you off, they're honking back. It's like, you were about to run into me. I know you want to check, but, you know, I got to go. Insanity. All right, so should we tell people what's going on? That they'll know that they got this instead of the show anyway. So
yeah, probably.
Probably by this point,
we almost did
a show length podcast.
By the time this podcast is posted, you listener will be able to access this podcast because it's been posted.
Yes, it'll be very much fun, and we'll I'll send you some of those gator pictures. And the next update will be post road trip update.
Oh, man. Can't wait for that.
That should be fun. And you'll have had some adventures. We'll have all had adventures, which is what these podcasts are about. It's our adventure podcast.
Your adventures are much more adventure-y.
I like
lately.
Adventures. Yeah, well, I got to get out there. Who knows how long I have left?
I mean, I just...
I got to get out and grab life by the nards.
That's what I tell myself
every
day. I
got to shake it by the short hairs and see which falls out.
I was going to say, you know, I don't know where you see movies, but just to wrap up, you just reminded me before I forget, while you're talking about these drive-through delicious things, you know how a thing at movie theaters is you bring a little flask of vodka, dump it in the Slurpee?
Oh, I didn't know that was a thing.
That's a thing people can do. I did it actually for the Avengers, and it was a terrible mistake.
Yeah.
Because you don't need to drink to watch the Avengers.
No.
So I went to ArcLight Cinema.
Oh, I've heard of those.
It's a brand new one. It's right on Halstead, just by North and Clybourne, or on Clybourne, basically North and Halstead.
Oh, that's where I saw Creed.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you've been there.
In that new city development.
Yeah, in that weird little mini suburban cul-de-sac.
I used to work right on the other side of the British school from there. Okay. I watched that whole thing get built.
Me too.
Yeah.
Where'd you work?
What was the name of the street?
I worked at a call center there.
That was when I was working for my brother.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That is where that is. Yeah. I used to work for a call center back before they knocked down the last Cabrini Green building.
Okay.
So, anyway, it's by there. But anyway, if anybody's interested, if you've been there
I've been there. It's nice.
But I was going to say, they have a full bar.
Oh, yeah?
They have a coffee shop. I kind of rushed to down a cup of coffee before I left, and then I get there, and there's a whole. I could have gotten an espresso.
Espresso
an
to watch
espresso.
With your pinky out watching a Captain America movie.
Could have watched an espresso. Drank an espresso.
Espresso.
I love saying espresso.
Espresso.
Ironically.
Espresso.
I know we hate that. But I thought it was odd because for a matinee, it was the ticket was something like $13.50.
Yeah, it's a lot.
But I got a hot dog for $5.
Oh, yeah.
A jumbo hot dog.
Huh.
So I think they flipped the script because most places they'll charge you $10-11 for a ticket, but then you know popcorn's $9.
Yeah.
Or whatever. I think actually their concessions are pretty reasonable for being right in the middle of the city.
Yeah, I don't remember. I remember getting a small popcorn and a small pop when I was there, and it not being overly crazy.
They had a smoothie for $5 or $6.
Well, that's not bad.
I mean, so it's I think they're going to do well. So I didn't drink because it was 11:30 in the morning.
Yeah. So what are you saying?
Ooh, if they had Bloody Marys.
Day drinking is – that's why I like vacations. Day drinking sometimes is fun.
But you know what? I don't like to drink and go into a movie with
an action movie. No, I don't. When I'm going to a movie, I want to stay awake and see the movie. I don't want any distractions. I don't need to be altered in any way, shape, or form.
No, I didn't say I didn't want to be altered. Just made me not drunk. Oh, we'll leave it
Good
at that.
Good morning, Cannabis Habitus. All right, well, is that it? That's it.
Yeah, that's it.
All right, thanks for listening. Oh, don't forget to go to Cody's podcast. This is the first time we forgot to mention your podcast.
We forgot to plug Game Life Balance, Game Life US, Balance on US. WGN Plus.
That's right. Now we did it. You're welcome. Bye.